call it a flaw. It's, I accept any frustration you have with this beautiful part of the program.
Really?
I do. Before we even get going, because this is on me. And the reason why I say it's on me is I have absolutely no idea who Andrew Hahn is.
Okay.
Don't know him at all.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much of his stuff I have read. I read just about everything I can get my hands on, but I don't always pay attention to who wrote it. And Andrew Hahn wrote something that, to me, is just so ridiculous, it deserves some time.
Okay.
And that is this. Trades, according to ESPN.com, that we'd like to see made. And Andrew Hahn is considered to be an NBA insider, according to ESPN.
Yes.
Well, number one, ESPN, wake up.
He's not an outsider.
He is not an ESPN insider.
Come on,
an NBA insider, if you have suggestions like this. I have no problem with articles that are throw crap on the wall, see what sticks, if it makes me think.
Yes.
I want you to write things that go, huh, I didn't think of that. Try to see how the pieces work. See if there's something there.
Like Undisputed?
Yeah, I get that. Undisputed makes me think. Bickley's column a couple weeks ago about Devin Booker and Karl Anthony Towns. Of, do you need to strike and get Karl Anthony Towns just to be leery of Devin Booker saying, okay, you didn't get him, so I'll go to where he is.
Yes.
At some point. That's an interesting idea. And that's something to think about. This is what Andrew Hahn wrote. He says that the Phoenix Suns should trade Bogdan Bogdanovich and the number two pick overall. Okay, or to get the number two pick, I mean. And what they should get rid of is Jared Dudley.
All right. Yeah.
And Devin Booker.
Devin Booker.
Basically trade Devin Booker,
Devin Booker
for the number two pick in the NBA draft. So instead of...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Get Andrew ready, Hahn, we would like to award you,
yes,
the Doug and Wolf Show Turd of Fortune.
Turd of Fortune. Andrew Hahn. Is that what you said?
That's where it just stopped.
Okay,
that
good.
That was right.
Andrew Hahn.
Turd of Fortune! Fortune!
How did we get that sound? I mean, that's fantastic. That sounds just like it. Devin Booker? I mean, I get the fact of, hey, let's figure out a way to get Ayton and Doncic, okay, if you really want it. But you're serious? I mean, Devin Booker is still on an unbelievably controllable contract.
No.
And you want to trade him in a division so you'll see him four times a year on top of that just for him to light you up. You're that sure Doncic is better?
Can I just say this right here? Is there any way the Phoenix Suns could get to 5 or 6 in the lottery? I mean, again, I'm talking about assuming, of course, they keep their number one. They keep DeAndre Ayton that pick overall, ladies and gentlemen. And, of course, is there any way they could move up to number 5 or 6?
Yes.
Do you see that, Douglas?
Do you see
that being a possibility?
When you say, is there,
I mean, could they
way
present the assets that would allow them to actually move up there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
All right. Because this is a notion that we've been kind of avoiding, I would say, skirting about it. But at the same time, is it a possibility that Luka Doncic is falling down draft boards, ladies and gentlemen? Do you believe that he might be falling down some draft boards? I, you know what I do, as a matter of fact. I believe that could be a possibility. Not saying it's going to happen. Don't know. It only takes one team to make it wrong, ladies and gentlemen. But I think there's a possibility that he is falling down draft boards. Having said that, do you think Luka Doncic would love to play for Igor Kokoshkov?
Yes, I do. I do.
Yes, I think there's no doubt about that.
So you're hinting at trying to trade back
up. I'm just saying, it is a ridiculous proposition to me if, in fact, you're including Devin Booker. You're nuts. Just knock
VA's
it off.
Like, don't be that turd.
Don't be that turd, Andrew Hahn.
I believe if you're asking, okay, what is the Doug Franz mock draft? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to sell you on Ayton's to the Suns.
Okay.
Marvin Bagley is going at number 2 to the Kings.
I'm with you.
Doncic is going to number 3 with the Hawks. Jaren Jackson is going number 4 or Bamba to the Grizzlies. I think it's Jackson or Bamba, and then I think the Mavericks choose the opposite. Okay, whatever they don't. So it's Jackson or Bamba, I don't know, at 4 and 5.
All right.
And then I think everything starts at 6. I'm going to say everything starts at 6.
Okay.
If there was one question I would give anything to have answered that nobody knows the answer to.
Okay.
Okay. Right. I've actually texted an NFL general manager this question one time. I found it fascinating what he wondered. What do you want? What is the one question if you had a crystal ball and you knew, okay, this is the one I want to know going into the draft?
Mm-hmm.
If I had one for the NBA, it would be, tell me about Michael Porter Jr.'s future.
Yeah.
This health issue. I mean, this was a guy that was supposed to be better than Ayton coming into Missouri.
No.
And because of injury, I don't know anything about him other than watching YouTube videos and talking to people.
I see.
Is this guy going to be healthy, and is he worth everything? And if it's true, you would love to trade back up and go get Michael Porter Jr. And I bet he might be there at 8, where the Cavaliers are picking at 8. I think either Porter Jr. will be on the clock or Carter Jr. Give me a junior.
Yes. Okay.
I don't care which one of those juniors.
I see what you did.
I'll trade up to number 8 and get a junior.
Okay.
I'll trade the farm, and I'm not trading the farmer, which is Devin Booker.
No.
I'm not trading Booker or Jackson, but I'll trade just about anybody.
I like that little analogy. Right
after
there.
I get DeAndre Ayton to go up and get Bamba.
Yes. I'll trade the farm, not the farmer.
Yes.
Interesting.
And that's Devin Booker.
I like that right there. That was well done on your part. I just honestly, if I could have one question answered, it would be, is Luka Doncic actually falling down NBA draft boards? That would be the question I would love to have answered. And I think we're going to have that question answered very, very soon, like tomorrow. But that would be the one thing that I'd want to know. Just out of curiosity, because I know this, if I'm a 19-year-old kid, I love my coach, and I love my coach Igor Kokoshkov very, very much, and would love to play for him.
Remember when when the Cardinals traded up for Josh Rosen, they had a lot of the deal done with the Raiders ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Who have the Suns talked to?
Exactly.
How much of a deal is done, and what does that team say? We're not doing it if this guy falls to us.
That's
but
a great point.
That's what you want to know. Join 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, at the Phoenix Suns 2018 NBA Draft Party tomorrow. It starts at 4, live from Talking Stick Resort Arena. You can be there to have your cheers or boos heard the second the name is announced for the first time in Suns history with the number one overall pick. Get all the details at the events page at arizonasports.com, and you can RSVP to watch the Suns. Coming up next, the NHL draft is coming up on Friday, the day after. So who's on the Coyotes radar at number 5? We'll ask the general manager, John Chyka, next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. All right. NBA draft Thursday night, NHL draft Friday night. And the general manager of the Arizona Coyotes is on the Coulter Automotive Group sports line right now, John Chyka. Good morning, John. Are you a little busy this time of year?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, it's a good time of year.
Your draft board, who is the guy right now that if he's not there at number 5, you're throwing something? You're just irate, and you're going to throw something in your war room.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm irate, but obviously Rasmus Dahlin's going number 1, and you'd always love to have that type of guy. But either way, we feel like we won't be irate. There'll be a really good player there at 5. We think it's a good draft, a lot of good players, and we're thrilled to have that pick and add to our group, and think we got a lot of good things going on, and it'll just help accelerate that.
So speaking about the draft, Johnny, would you take Ayton? Would you take DeAndre Ayton, or would you take Luka Doncic?
I don't know enough, and I know it's just a great thing for the Suns and the city to have that opportunity to make the first overall pick. So I know it's an exciting time for them.
I'm getting sick of Buffalo Sabres always.
Yeah. How many transcendent players do you think there are in this year's NHL draft?
Well, it's always tough to tell. And I feel, for these 18-year-old kids, it's just tough to put that tag on them. And, obviously everyone, seemingly agrees that, Dahlin is just that guy that seemingly – there's consensus that he could be that guy and has that ability, but at the same time, in order to do that, you got to be you know, a top level person. You got to continue to develop, and you got to, you know, win at the end of the day. So beyond that, you know, I think there are going to be a few players who they are. Time will tell. And like I said, their development path and what they do after they get drafted is really going to determine that. So there's a lot of stuff that goes into that, situational factors and things of that nature. So the answer is I don't know, but I know that there are some really good players that have a chance.
Coyotes general manager joining Doug and Wolf right now, John Chyka. And John, how much do bloodlines truly matter? I mean, I know it's all about the tape. It's about the tape. Can you play? Can you play? But when you can draft a guy that's got a dad, that's got bloodlines in the league and probably knows exactly what the league is about, is that a good thing or a bad thing when you have a chance at Brady Tkachuk?
Well, yeah, I think it's a good thing in the sense of I think the draft's about managing risk, and certainly, you know, a player that's just got that comfort level, that's been around it, that knows what to expect and has a sounding board like Keith that, you know, you can always count on to help him through the process. I think it's, you know, valuable, certainly. I think, you know, it's something we discuss. It's something that we think is a real positive. But, you know, at the same time, again, it's you know, you're trying to get the best player. And there's a lot of variables that go into it and a lot of factors. And I think that's one, and it certainly lowers the risk. But at the same time, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it.
Johnny, why did you trade Max Domi for Alex Galchenyuk?
You know, I think ultimately we were looking to improve our group here. And when we looked across the league and had many discussions, you know, dating back to the season and during the deadline, you know, we had a good sense of potential center options that were available, guys that fit our core group age, guys that made sense from an economic standpoint, guys that had a history of producing and producing in a big way. And when you went down the line, that's Alex Galchenyuk. And, you know, in order to get, you got to give. And, you know, Max was a good player, good person, did a lot in the community. He's a player we like a lot as well. But, you know, ultimately we felt that in order to make the deal, we knew that that was the price. And when we looked across the alternatives and what the cost of acquisition would be there, we felt that, you know, this was the best deal for our group. So, you know, hopefully it's a situation where both teams find what they're looking for and both players can, you know, do well in their new environments. And, you know, I always have to just look at what we're getting in return. And, you know, for us, Alex was a player that made a lot of sense.
Coyotes GM John Chyka joining Doug and Wolf. You just mentioned the economics. I realize you do not play home games in Madison Square Garden. You are not in Toronto or anything like that. But it's only a report, so feel free to rip the report. But I admit it bugged me when I read that Phil Kessel wants to be a Coyote. He hasn't missed a game in 5 years, but because he doesn't fit into the economics of the Coyotes, that there's probably not going to be a deal. And I'd like to know more on that, because I'm thinking, how often do you get a 90-point a guy that wants to be a Coyote? Why wouldn't the Coyotes jump on this, even if it accelerates the timeline that much more?
Yeah, I'd like to know more about it, too. I think it's terrible reporting. It's inaccurate across the board from start to finish. So I don't know where some things come up, but, you know, I'm the one having trade discussions. Those discussions with the Penguins haven't occurred. So unless someone else is making calls I don't know about, I'm not sure where his information is coming from. And then, you know, to speculate on our economics, I think it's unfair. I think, you know, we're trying to build out our group here you know, we got a young group and we're trying to build through the draft and develop. So, you know, I'm not sure where it's coming from, but, you know, the basis of that reporting is not coming from anything tied to the Coyotes and it's certainly not anywhere close to factual.
So I've never said this before, but thanks. I feel better.
Johnny, how much did last year's second half of the season influence the decisions that you've made or maybe not made this offseason?
Well, yeah, no, I think, you know, we certainly saw some growth and, you know, we just want to continue down that path. So, you know, you're always, you know, wary of small samples. I think, you know, there wasn't the whole season, obviously, but at the same time, we saw a lot of our young players develop the way we'd like to see them develop. And, you know, players were catching on to what our staff was preaching. And so you get that identity and you want to continue to grow off of it and build it. So, you know, it's one of those things where, It takes some time to build and you got to be patient and you got to time things in the right way. And, you know, we're not going crazy over here, just throwing everything against the wall, but, you know, we wanted to make sure if we got an opportunity to improve our group, we would do that. And that's, you know, with an Alex Galchenyuk, that's what we did.
Do you already know who won the Calder Trophy?
No, I don't. I don't. I didn't. I don't get to vote for it either, so I don't even know where one of my votes went. But you know, I think Clayton. It just shows you that you know, the type of recognition he gets, and it certainly deserves it. That you know, he's at the awards with that class of players, and that's where he deserves to be. You know, he had a heck of a season for us. You know, we put him in a lot of positions where. You know, it's difficult for a young player, but, you know, he kept persevering and kept finding ways and had a heck of a year. So really excited for him. I think it's a great, you know, experience, and I hope he wins.
You know how much I love Clayton Keller.
Right? Oh, no, don't.
We're not going to go back to it. We're not going to talk about it, Johnny. You know how much I love this guy. What are your expectations? What is the organization's expectations for Clayton Keller in year two?
Yeah, you know, I think the nice part about Clayton and our situation here in Arizona is we got a great group of young players. So as we know, hockey's a team sport. It's not on any one individual, and we're not expecting him to come in here and be the savior next year. Like you said, we've got a lot of good young players, and you know, for Clayton, I think he's a big part of it, and you know, I think he's got the opportunity, and he's going to play a big role. But at the same time, we feel like we've got a good group, and he's just going to help that group. And I know his goal is to help the team win, and that's ultimately what he's after. So he's going to be a productive player. You know, I think he's taken on the opportunity well, and look forward to what he can do next year.
John, good talk. Good luck on Friday night. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Johnny.
There's John Chyka, General Manager, Arizona Coyotes, joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. You can go to CoulterNissan.com, CoulterOnCamelback.com, or CoulterTempe.com for your next new or pre-owned car. Burns and Gamble actually have a Coyotes draft roadshow. They're going to be at Wild Horse Pass Hotel and Casino coming up on Friday, and you can join them for the draft party. Clayton Keller will be on hand as well, and they're going to unveil the team's new official third jersey, and then everybody will sit and watch the NHL draft unfold, in which the Coyotes have the number 5 pick. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for complete details. So earlier this morning, it started right at 6 o'clock. The big question asked to you. You choose. You're the general manager of the Phoenix Suns. What should they do? Where's your anger factor if they don't do what you want? The results. The Suns need to do this. Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
At Call Me Maloney, producer of the Doug and Wolf Show. We got, what, 2 polls?
Yeah, we have 2 polls. I'll start with the one on arizonasports.com. If Trae Young falls in the draft, should the Suns trade up to select him? 59% say yes, but only if the price is reasonable. 23% no, he's not worth trading up for. 16% yes, make them an offer they can't refuse. 2% no, the Suns should not trade up at all. Well, I think I know where you fall on that one, Doug.
I'm with a 59%.
Listen. I have to ask the question, what happened?
Reasonable.
I'm not trading up for Trae Young unless, this is where we don't get the benefit, okay? As a guy that watches tons of college basketball, Lon Kruger is not calling me to talk about Trae Young. Before I'm trading up for Trae Young, tell me one thing. Why did he fall apart? Why was he one of the best players in college basketball in November and December when it doesn't matter?
No.
And for a little bit of January, and then for the last 2.5 months of the year, he was nothing. He fell apart. Why is that? If he couldn't handle the pressure, then guess what? I don't want him in the NBA. If he got massively distracted, then why did he get massively distracted? What happened?
What's the other poll that we have going?
The other poll is, Suns fans, this is your last chance to let Ryan McDonough know. Who do you want the Suns to take at number 1? 87% say they're all in on Aiden.
There it is.
87. That's actually lower than I thought.
7% say Marvin Bagley. 4% Luka Doncic. 2% Mo Bamba.
Wow, there's Bamba fans out there. That scares me that you people like Bamba more than me when I'm already all in on Bamba.
I definitely would have guessed 90-91% for DeAndre Ayton somewhere there.
Higher.
Even higher than 90-91?
No, I thought higher than the 87, yeah.
Okay, there you go. What are you going to go, 92 or 93?
No, I was. I meant when I said even higher that I was going even higher than the 87.
All right.
So I'm with you in the 90s.
I'm a little surprised by that right there. We, very unscientifically, ladies and gentlemen, we put out a listeners-only meeting twice this morning, right? And Man, we never do that. I mean, honestly, that's one of those deals where when we do that, when there's two listener-only meetings, it's a big, big deal, right? We want the word from the street. And it basically was a shutout. It basically was a shutout, DeAndre Ayton. One guy actually was a dissident.
Bamba.
Went with Mo Bamba.
Love Bamba.
Which I was a little surprised by that, honestly.
I got to tell you, this...
I mean, Doncic, okay, Marvin Bagley, the third, I get it.
This really grabbed me. I want to give Cole some credit. He tweeted the show, at DuganWolf98.7, and it really made me think. And I don't think he's crazy. And you know how it is when you get, you know, crazy trade scenarios. But he says, get up to Memphis. Get the Memphis pick. And the reason why he wanted to talk about the Memphis pick is it's at number four, so it sounds outstanding. But he is looking at the idea of what are you willing to accept back? And his trade idea is to take the contract of Chandler Parsons. Okay. Parsons, I believe the original deal was signed with the Mavericks. Somebody that knows more than me would have to give me a quick tweet on that. But Chandler Parsons still, this is so funny to even read it. It's almost like A-Rod. 3 years, $23 million is still remaining.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, on this Parsons contract.
Oh, my goodness.
But the Suns have a ton of cap room.
Yeah, right.
And then you negotiate the buyout and you just say goodbye. Now, this is, we are spending Sarver's money. Okay,
yeah.
which not a lot of people have been able to do successfully.
Yes.
Okay, so I realize that.
They got like 40 mil, don't they?
But if I can just talk about it in basketball terms, I'm saying, yes, right now with the trade of Chandler Parsons, you're about right.
Okay.
If you trade for Chandler Parsons, you're still 26 mil under the cap.
Okay.
With this obnoxious contract.
Nice.
Okay. I did the trade, and if I trade Jared Dudley and I wipe out one of the premier drafts of Ryan McDonough, I hope he can get over it, and I'm trading Bender and Chris.
Okay.
If I trade those three, I can take Chandler Parsons on, and I've got the number four pick in the NBA draft.
Wow. Wow.
Now, I don't know how the Grizzlies feel, but you get out from underneath that terrible contract.
Interesting.
You get a good veteran to help you. Now, I'm going to have to include draft picks because
yes.
They're not doing it without
yes.
a haul of draft
yes.
picks. And Ryan McDonough might say, no way am I doing it if yes. I'm giving up both Chris and Bender. But I think there's something there that if you're willing to take Chandler Parsons and give up future draft picks, because they won't do it unless this is a rebuild. They could sell in Memphis a complete and utter total rebuild. So they've got to get out from that contract and a ton of draft picks.
Yes.
I think they would do it. And guess who's
you know
there
what
at
make
four?
That.
Doncic might be
see,
there at
see,
four.
See, now that was the
Bamba
question
will,
I asked.
Bamba will be there at four.
No.
Jaren Jackson will be there at four.
That is the question I asked earlier. That's the only question I want to know. Is Luka Doncic actually falling down draft boards?
I like the idea of Atlanta taking him at number
I'm talking
three.
About will he be there at four? Will he be there at five, six? Is he really falling down NBA draft boards? That's what I'd like to know. Because honestly, if you could get Doncic at number four as well, what wouldn't you give up? Devin Booker would not give up.
I'm not giving up Josh Jackson.
DeAndre Ayton.
Under any
not
circumstances.
Giving up DeAndre.
Not giving up the number one.
Not
pick.
Giving up Josh Jackson. And after that, have at it.
You're going to laugh at me. I really don't want to give up TJ Warren. I think if you're a playoff team, TJ Warren is a bench
love
scorer.
Love
him. I'm not trying to sell you that TJ Warren is the greatest player on a true playoff contender on a playoff team.
He's a sixth
but
man.
Every playoff team has a TJ Warren type coming off their bench.
Love it.
All of them do. I don't see an idea where you're giving up TJ Warren. I don't like that idea at all. Again, great road show and your opportunity to cheer on the Coyotes. Burns and Gambo live. Coyotes draft party at Wild Horse Pass Hotel and Casino. It's coming up on Friday. Clayton Keller's going to be on hand as well to unveil the team's new official third jersey as we watch the NHL draft unfold. So if you want to cheer on the Coyotes and their number five pick, then get all the details at the events page at arizonasports.com.
Killer.
Coming up next, Paul's call probably is not going to talk about the good one. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
It's
Paul's call.
All right, well, we've spent zero time watching the World Cup, and that's by design, but we'll give you this guy.
Pretty good.
This Ronaldo guy.
This time it's short. Now played inside with Ronaldo.
4th minute of the game today against Morocco. Just a ridiculous diving header.
That was fantastic.
I mean, after he had the hat trick in the opener.
In by Moutinho and in by Ronaldo.
Love the passion, though, Joe.
Sensation.
Yeah. It's not a goal, though, until we get the international call. Thing is, we don't get that much time here at Paul's Call. I just can't really afford the end of this. Sorry, pal. You know, I hate to do it, but.
Where's Maynard, Paul?
They're giving me the rap sign, so you get the sawed-off shotgun of sports. Sports takes and brawling softball parents in every direction. Oh, boy. Real audio from real cell phone video of real parents at a real 12-year-old softball game gets extremely real.
Is it your cell phone, Paul?
It's in Tennessee, Wolf. Softball dads.
Listen to the screams.
Softball dads rolling around on the ground, punching, kicking, wives trying to intervene.
Wow.
And the whole time, the kids are watching. Despicable. Heinous.
Totally.
Criminal.
Wow, the screams were real.
Two teams from North Carolina in Tennessee both got kicked out of the tournament.
Well, that's brutal, Paulie, right
there. Dying to know why.
I once saw my father get decked with a straight right hand. No. He got out of the car at a stop sign because a guy cut him off, went up to the window. The guy rolled the window down. Boom. Jacked
really?
Him.
Oh. Okay. What did your dad do?
Okay. Well, my dad, after he got off the ground, the guy drove away.
Oh, my God.
Let this be a sobering reminder. Don't be that parent. All right, your kids are playing sports for fun. Be positive.
Can you imagine that?
Man,
rolling around right there. You've got kids screaming, and you're brawling in front of them. Honestly, where's the flat shovel?
In fact, note to self, because we've got a big Little League game tonight, gentlemen. So, I gotta control myself over there. Everybody out there.
Snap out of it.
Right. Polyparental unit. There are 11.
What's the matter with you?
No, it doesn't mean we don't owe our...
It's going to get worse, Paul.
I mean, we owe Arcadia a beatdown. There's no doubt about that.
Okay. I guess we're playing for keeps now.
Way to set the table.
And we've got our Ian McCormick Ranch next. But
the end is near.
Let's just leave the drama. Leave the drama out of it.
McCormick Ranch.
That's right. We're naming names around here.
Die!
Oh, no. See, that's taking it too far, Wolf. It's not life or death around here. You know, I mean.
You're a juvenile punk.
Just stop it. Stop. You
who
former
is the
fullbacks.
Last person that you punched? Yeah, who is the last person you punched?
Goose Gossage.
And you're going to let a young punk like Bryce Harper dictate this game? Are you serious?
Goose, just go back to guarding your lawn.
Get off my lawn.
That's right. Okay. We got to talk draft.
The Phoenix Suns select.
Well, that's a good question. Here, have you seen this ESPN draft analyst guy, Mike Schmitz? Not the Hall of Fame third baseman. Schmitz with his take on the best player in the draft.
You know, the NBA has changed, and I think he's perfect for this new NBA.
Well, of course he's talking about DeAndre Ayton, right?
Yeah, right.
Wrong.
We've gone through his resume time and time again. We know he's the most accomplished 19-year-old European prospect we've ever seen.
He says Luka Doncic. Remember Ben Stiller in Dodgeball?
Here at Globo Gym, we understand that ugliness and fatness are genetic disorders.
If you're a losing NBA franchise and you don't see the light on Doncic...
And it's only your fault if you don't hate yourself enough to do something about it.
If you don't take Doncic number one overall, it's your fault.
Teams are kind of stuck in an old-school mentality in some ways, thinking that it's all about length, it's all about athleticism, take the best big available. And watching the playoffs, you see that's not the case. We're seeing P.J. Tucker play the five, Jordan Bell, Draymond Green.
Okay, so
stare at the sun, ball. You're gonna go blind.
Attention, Luka. You're not going number one.
Nothing for you.
And if you don't like the fact that Ayton is going number one,
first of all, if you don't take DeAndre Ayton, you're just an idiot.
If you don't like that reality, then you can get in line behind Marvin Bagley.
He's the presumptive number one overall pick. Should he really be drafted before you?
No.
No, he shouldn't be. Oh. No, people can take it how they want. You know, I know DeAndre, we're both competitive, but at the end of the day, you know, we both playing this game to be the best.
Bagley ain't going down in the draft without putting up a fight here. He's making his case, reiterates to the SI podcast.
Like I said, no, I don't think he should be drafted before me.
Why should you be the number one pick in the draft?
I'm able to do a lot of different things inside and out, affect the game in many different ways, my passing, defensively, just being able to do a lot of different things on the court to help my team win.
Now, what about his hometown team? Because Bagley also appeared on a Hoops Hype podcast, and they asked him.
So he said that you would hold a grudge against the Phoenix Suns for life if they don't choose you.
For life?
Really?
Really.
You would?
I would, 100%.
A grudge for life, says Bagley.
Steve Nash. It's all over now. Jerseys are burned.
Yeah, just being a Suns fan, seeing the Lakers, Suns matchups, having barbecues, watching the games. When I said I hold a lifelong chip on my shoulder against them, it was true.
So it's not all business for Bagley.
You're taking this very personal.
Yeah. Just can't stand that, Paulie. I mean, honestly, bury the chip in your heart, dude.
Wolf, we haven't even gotten to the fourth player who says he's the best.
I'm the perfect fit for today's NBA game, and I want to go in there and, you know, be special from the jump.
Michael Porter Jr. says, don't forget about me.
I'm not going to be ignored, Dan.
Just because I have a bad back doesn't mean I won't make you regret not taking me.
I don't want it to take long for me to be one of the best players in the NBA.
Just because I couldn't play last season doesn't mean I can't compare my own game to.
Right now, I would say I'm a mix of Giannis and KD.
Okay.
You know, I like going to the hall a little more than KD does. Bumping into people a little more physical than KD. But, you know, I like to shoot the ball more than Giannis. So that's what I like to compare myself to.
Yeah. I'm KD and Giannis, a mix. Dude.
May want to put that in the audio file.
I mean, dude.
Are you insane?
Come on now. Oh, he also threw in.
And also Tracy McGrady. I compared to him a lot, and I like that one a lot.
Okay, you know what? Hey, Michael.
Shut up. Audio
it's bomb. Time once again for No Comprendo.
Things that make us say
No Comprendo.
All right. So maybe you're a big-time clarinet player, and you're trying to get a scholarship, and then you don't get that scholarship. And
clarinetist Eric Abramovitz dreamed of attending the prestigious Colburn Conservatory and study under clarinet master Yehuda Galeev.
They only take two out of the whole world for these scholarships. He got one of the scholarships, except he didn't know it.
She snuck into his email and sent him a fake rejection letter. Years later, Eric applied again. That's when he learned he had been accepted.
No way.
His ex-girlfriend had infiltrated his email, intercepted the acceptance scholarship note, and then sent a rejection letter turning down an over $200,000 scholarship.
No comprendo.
Bitter table for one. He then found out a couple years later, they re-accepted him, thankfully, and now he has a pending lawsuit against her for $250,000.
Yes. No comprendo.
What's the axiom, Paul? Hell hath no fury?
Like the scorn of a lost scholarship?
Yeah. Or a draft pick?
The Phoenix Suns select.
This ball's gone.
Thank you, Paul.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo!
Doug and Wolf's. It's all about the you. It's all about the you. Brought to you by Carol Royce. If you want to learn how to sell your house for top dollar, go to carolhasthebuyers.com.
I'm breaking the rules. I got two takeaways from today's show. Number one, Michael Porter Jr., if you're going to make comparisons, then actually know how to say somebody's name.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
It is not Giannis. By the way, Mr. Michael Porter Jr. And number two, my second takeaway, Phil Mickelson, a complete recantation and apology today, saying he lost it. He lost it. That was terrible. And he's sorry about hitting a moving putt.
You know, maybe that's why I didn't get a lot of big-time college football scholarships, because my ex-girlfriends intercepted him and sent a rejection letter. Maybe not.
Stare at the sun long enough, and you'll go blind. Isn't that right, DeAndre Ayton? Peace and strength. It's all about the youth.